The North was segregated after Brown outlawed segregation in 1954. It didn't happen by private individual choices, but by government decisions that blocked banks from lending to African Americans in both the suburbs and inner cities. Those now well-documented decisions created many of the inner city's problems and the struggle to make equality real. But who cares? Who cares because all the proposals to fix a huge injustice, not in the distant years of slavery, but now, mean paying to help them? It's fine if someone else pays, but not us, not the wealthy, the middle class, or the poor. So are there answers society could adopt? We nibble. The Fresh Air Fund, scholarships for the African-American elite, the people who overcame all the potholes and roadblocks in their way. In 1938, years before Brown, the Supreme Court understood that the inescapable sin of segregation was the barrier to networking. Missouri was prepared to send African Americans to any law school in neighboring states so that they would get what Missouri called an equal education, but not to Missouri schools. Presaging Brown, the court said it wasn't equal to deny African Americans the chance to get to know future colleagues, adversaries, judges, and legislators. As Brown would say 16 years later, segregation is inherently unequal. There lies the real problem of race. Any real solution involves us all. Would we put the resources into, quotes, their schools that we put into, quotes, ours? Would we share some classrooms? Would we allow willing parents to send their kids to our schools, or would a modest program be too much for us or the racist majority on the court in Washington? I think there will be success for African Americans, too. Fresh out of slavery, their ancestors created a system of higher education, fine colleges and universities, which survive and thrive. Then they started the climb toward the middle class familiar to many of us. Many African Americans joined the ranks of civil servants in the federal government. Government service had been a route out of poverty for many of our ancestors. But beginning in 1913, after years of progress, President Wilson excluded African Americans from all but menial federal jobs, pushing educated and successful African Americans out of the federal bureaucracy. That story was repeated after World War II, after Brown versus Board, when federal officials denied that African Americans had any rights the capitalist system need honor, and instead used the federal agencies they controlled to block African Americans from getting loans to build businesses or join the march to the suburbs. It wasn't anything African Americans did, but that deliberate undermining of their efforts and successes laid the seeds of contemporary inner city problems. There are many more chapters to the story of the ways that the financial and political rugs were pulled from under potentially successful African Americans and their businesses. The road of our African-American brothers and sisters has been longer, harder, more unjust than the ancestors of most of the rest of us because America made it so. I was there in front of the Lincoln Memorial when Dr. Martin Luther King shared his glorious dream. That dream of equality belongs to all of us. All of us depend on the crucial American realization that all mankind is created equal. So like most Americans, I thrilled to King's words, and I admire the principled courage and dedication of Charlottesville's counter-protesters. Their presence was an indication of the progress America has made, and their struggle reflects the distance still to travel. King's dream, our dream, is still a dream.